Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hello there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, this week you want to kind of wade into the issue of Christians and voting.
Yeah, it's right upon us.
This is the season for voting.
It really is. And mail-in ballots should be
just
on our
mine.
Countertops.
Just got mine.
Yep, I did. I just got mine yesterday as well. And so they're at our fingertips, and there is more than enough coverage in radio and in TV, in news outlets. I don't care if you watch CNN. I don't care if you watch Fox News. I don't care if you watch the local news. Boy, for the next couple of weeks, it's going to be the topic at front and center. Mm. And then, of course, we work in to what has been happening in the Supreme Court and how that has been moving, how the Senate has decided to take up a vote, and how the candidate is going to be brought out of committee, and a vote is probably going to be next week. So add that in to the coronavirus this year. And boy, we've had quite a year this year, haven't we?
2020, boy.
And so
I'm ready for Christmas already.
That's right. And so I want to take a couple moments and let's talk about what does it mean to be a born-again believer. What does it mean to follow after the heart of Christ first? Because that is going to be the central theme of everything we talk about. As a matter of fact, if you are a regular listener and you listen to me talk about estate planning, I hope that the main focus is always what is the heart of Christ, and then let's bring that to the forefront and use other skills and other tools. Well, it's not going to change in today's discussion, which is what is the heart of Christ as we look at society today, as we view ourselves as Christians, as Bible believers, and how is that going to change and affect our decisions and how we act? Faith without works is dead. And so according to what we believe, according to what we are to demonstrate, in other words, our Christianity, there must be an action that backs up our belief system. And so, yeah, we're right in the middle of it. So let's talk a little bit about, well, what does it mean to vote?
Yeah, why should Christians be involved in the voting process?
Well, there's multiple layers. Number one, I believe that it is a biblical concept that God has put in place government entities, and He has given us His voice of authority, and it is our really not just right, but it really is at the forefront and center of our Christian belief system to demonstrate and to have the gospel come from our lives. And that can happen in multiple different areas. It can mean that you're a preacher. It could mean that you are a phenomenal school teacher and you demonstrate kindness, love, and goodness and the qualities of who He is. Believe it or not, I'm an attorney and I love Jesus. So there's even attorneys
wow.
can love God. I know it's phenomenal. So it doesn't matter where God has placed you as far as your skills and your education and where He has placed you for work. This includes that there are people who should be in government, who are called to be government, who are to be light and voices. And it's our civic duty then to allow that voice, no matter what our other skill sets are, to really have a say in this process. And so so some of the main topics and some of the things that are out there that I've been listening to over the past couple weeks, if you turn on CNN, so I'm trying to watch both news medias as we come into this election cycle. If you turn on one, CNN, it talks about the coronavirus because 60% or more of Americans surveyed say that Trump has not done a good job managing the coronavirus. So, of course, Democrats are going to put that on the line. But then 60% of Americans A very similar number have said that Trump has done a good job with the economy. So then guess what Fox is talking about? It's talking about the economy. But outside of the media, well, and then, like I've already mentioned, there's we have a Supreme Court nomination. We have multiple other things that are happening within the news medias that at this point, it becomes almost hypersensitive for individuals to be listening to this stuff over and over. And so that's why it's even more important for us in today's media day and age, where if we turn on a computer, it's going to be at us. If we are on any type of social media, there's going to be opinions floating everywhere. And the two, you know, mainstream news medias that I've just mentioned, they're very Democratic or they're very Republican. And I'm not so sure that you get a fair flavor of journalism out of either of those, national pundits. But regardless, it is far more important today, out of almost any other day and age that we've ever been in, to get back to the Word of God and get back and refocus on who our loving Savior is, and to ensure that we are not being swayed one way or another by national media, by national voices, or even by other voices that may be close to us. And it could even be the voice of a pastor. My encouragement is that we need to come back to Him and Him alone, to Christ and to the voice of the goodness and the mercy and the kindness of God. And that will give us our internal strength to then shut out what the world is talking about. Remember, this trick of Christianity, one of the biggest things is, are we going to be sucked into the voice of the world? And because the more we're sucked into it, the more we take on the ideology of the world, the more we start thinking like the world, the more then our belief system morphs and changes to align with what we hear.
Well, politics can kind of become a religion to a lot of people.
It can be. Absolutely. And so if that is your profession, then there is a strong reason why you are constantly listening and participating in it. And that could be a great thing, as long as it comes back to the foundation of everything that we believe as Christians, which is God is good, He is merciful and kind, and He wants His gospel proclaimed throughout the earth. And when we have that perspective, now all of a sudden, I can recenter myself, and I hope others who are listening today can recenter themselves and have the right perspective of His voice and His alignment. Then we can go out into the world and try to parse through everything that's coming at us. And so there's a lot of voices going on right now. And so my first encouragement to anyone who is listening today is make sure that those voices do not drown out or become the main voice over these next couple weeks, and ensure that your habits and your heart and mind are realigned to the goodness of God. And we need to hold our Christianity front and center over these next several weeks, because it's going to get even more dicey, I believe.
People are looking so often for political solutions to a lot of issues, really, that need spiritual solutions too.
Yeah, for sure, mm-hmm. for sure. Mm-hmm. And let me say this, which is, we need to be voting as Christians. So number one, if you still have time in Washington State to register to vote, I don't know if people know that, but you can go online and you can just put in Washington State voter registration in Google or any other search engine that you use, and it should come up rather quickly. You need to be a U.S. citizen. You need to have a valid driver's license or ID card that is issued by Washington. And you can register online up through October 26th to actually vote in this year's election. Okay. That's both local and national. And so that's a very important step. So you have another week almost to actually get online, register to vote. Now, because ballots have already been mailed and everything else, you would have to physically go on Tuesday, I think it's November 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. you'd have to physically go to actually vote this year, but it is not too late to register. Please register. If you mail in, you can also print a registration and you can mail that in. That needs to be received by October 26th. So not mailed by, but received by. Now, lastly, you can vote up to, you can register to vote up to Election Day, actually, in Washington, but you would have to, after October 26th, if you don't register online, then you'd actually have to go to your county election office, and you can actually register the day of and then go out and vote. So, number one, please, let's, as believers, uphold our civic duty, and let's take that step to register to vote and determine in our hearts and our minds that this is a good step, and I'm actually going to put feet on the ground, and I'm going to walk exactly what the responsibility is, and let's go out and vote this year. So that'd be my first, well, actually my second, because my first one is align yourself to Jesus, and then the second one is let's get out, let's register, and there's still time in Washington State to make that happen. So again, go out, let's vote, let's uphold our civic duty. Now, I want to take a couple minutes and really look at some of the biblical basis of what does it mean to vote. And I want to first start, I wrote a letter to my pastor back in May when all of the Washington State orders came down, and what the role of government is and the balance of it biblically in light of some of the orders that were coming out of Washington State. And, the first thing that we see and what many Christians go to is Romans 13 as far as what our role is in following and obeying those that are upon us as far as authority and the governmental submission. And so I want to review this very briefly, because I think it's a very, very important issue, and it plays into the discussion of our biblical mandate or the biblical view of whether or not we should be participating in governmental issues and in voting itself. And I want to move, Romans 13, verse 1, it says, let every soul or let every person be subject unto higher powers, for there is no power but God, and the powers that are ordained of God. Therefore, if you resist the power, resist the ordinance of God, if you resist, you shall receive unto yourself damnation. For the rulers are not terror of good works, but to evil. So will you be afraid of them? Well, I want to look at this very briefly. And the first thing is that Paul is writing to say we are to be under submission of the local government. But what is the role of the local government? Well, number one, it is to ensure that there are righteous laws that then will hone in evil, because Paul followed up that says, hey, if you push against the law, if you break the law, then you can expect a repercussion. That's what it's talking about, that if you resist, you shall receive damnation. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking that God turns his face against you and that somehow you lose your blessing. This is in relationship to the laws that are passed. And so if you push against the laws that man has passed, then you shall reap the unfortunate consequence. So I cannot go out and go 40 miles an hour in a school zone. I will reap a very bad consequence because I have pushed against the law that man has deemed fit. Mm. Now, verse number three is that this is really critical in aligning our philosophy in how we view government and the laws that are passed, is that the rulers are not to be terror of good works. Rather, they are to be of evil. So in other words, their presence is to place a presence against evildoers, not against those who are walking in righteousness. So with this verse, we see two things. Number one, what laws should be passed? Well, they should be passed to allow us as believers to walk in freedom of righteousness. So they should, as our U.S. Constitution does, give us the freedom to worship, because there is righteousness in worship. It should give us the freedom to proclaim and evangelize because we have the freedom of free speech. So these laws are good in allowing righteousness to be prolificated into the earth. However, if I do bad, then the laws should restrict me from doing unrighteous deeds. And this is why we need to vote. Because when we have local elections or national elections, when we use our voice, it directly influences the individual and the thought process of whether or not they are going to walk into the Washington state legislation, or if they're going to walk back to Washington, D.C., or whether they're going to fill the White House, and whether their thought process is, I want to pass what is righteous to allow righteousness to continue, but to restrict evil. And when we align ourselves biblically and begin to take on a Christian view, I believe that we will be able to find and see and perceive the individuals that have the heart to do exactly this, as found in Romans 13. So Romans 13 is not a just submit yourself and don't do anything against the government. Rather, it is a call to say, when we respond to the government, it's to ensure that righteousness is being prevailed and that evil is being restricted. So therefore, this is what we need to do as Christians, and this is why we need to vote, so that we can have a voice in that process.
Well, fortunately in America, we do have a voice in that process. We can vote. Christians and voting, the subject this week on the Paul Grant show here today, Legacy and Faith, talking about, I guess, both legacy and faith, both in that term. Get out and vote.
That's right.
And Paul, if people want to comment on some of your ideas this week or find out more about estate planning, how do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past shows. They're actually about estate planning instead of voting. And there's podcasts. There's upcoming sessions, educational sessions. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
More coming up on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memorieswworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memorieswworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Well, co-host Mark Holland this week, Paul taking us on a journey as to why Christians should be involved in voting and be involved in the election process as we're getting close to a big election here. Paul, you were talking about Romans 13 here before the break, imploring Christians to be involved in the government process and following the laws. What about when laws are not righteous?
Yeah.
Are not good?
Yeah. And
should we resist?
We really should. And it's in a biblical love and peaceful manner that we are to rise up and say, this is unrighteous. This does not match what the Word of God, and it does not align with who our Father is. And so when there are laws that are passed that are unrighteous, we do need to have a voice. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, oftentimes, Christians have a very passive voice. We're not very politically active. And I'm not saying that to go out there by the droves and start marching like what we saw back in June. That's not my call at all. But there needs to be a stance of righteousness, and we are the ones who actually have that. And even specifically in Washington State, it becomes even more dramatic to have that voice of righteousness, so that when laws that are not aligning with his goodness, then we are the ones to have the voice to say, this is not accurate. And so we really do need to utilize our voting voice as the first step in this process.
Well, people, Christians in Washington can be a little bit depressed over the situation here because of the Electoral College. It just seems like Washington,
right,
it's a foregone conclusion, is always going to be all Democrat. But that's not necessarily the case.
Well,
maybe for the national election, but not for local stuff.
Well, true. There is a local voice, and you get outside of the Seattle area, King County specifically, and things can begin to change. But it is difficult. It is difficult in Washington. As a matter of fact, I was looking up some stats. I think most people know that Washington is one of the most unchurched areas in the nation. As a matter of fact, we are fifth on the list for people who proclaim that they have no faith at all in anything. In the past 10 years, it has gone from 43% of people saying they have no religious affiliation to 47%.
In Washington.
In Washington,
wow,
State.
So half the people here.
Almost half. Mm-hmm. And then of the remaining, only 26% say that they're moderately religious. In other words, they may go to church, they may not, but they still identify as being a Christian in some manner, whether it's Catholicism, whether it's being non-denominational or evangelical, it doesn't matter. They have some sort of faith. And only 28% say that they're very religious.
Hmm.
And so this really plays into a lot of the national polls as well. And I'm running out of time here today, but I'll just give you some very, very basic things, which is, 15 to 16% of Americans that are white proclaim that they're evangelist. Of that, 76% of those individuals voted Republican.
You mean evangelical?
Yeah, evangelical. Mm-hmm. What'd I say? Okay, evangelical. Thanks for actually listening.
Evangelist.
Yeah, oh yeah, evangelical. And evangelist,
there
maybe.
You go.
8% of Americans who say that they're evangelical are black, are colored, and 90% of them vote Democrat.
Hmm.
And so there is a massive disparity. And I didn't have enough time to really look into what is the difference. Is that a real social difference? Is that the area of the nation that they come from? I don't know the difference between these voting polls. But then 4% Hispanic evangelical, and they kind of go down the middle 50-50. And so so the whole thing is that the population in America, in Seattle specifically, and America as a whole, because it used to be that there was that 30, well over 37% of all of Americans associated with being evangelical. Now 31%, and that's in a 20-year span.
Mm.
So it's becoming harder to have this voice of righteousness within the political system because the numbers of Christians are simply dwindling in America. We have become self-sustaining. And so more evangelicals voted percentage-wise in the 2016 election than ever before, but the number of votes casted were down. Why? Because this percentage overall is dropping. And so then it even applies more here in Washington. And so in the local area, we have local elections, we have things that we need to proclaim are righteous, but we cannot lose the voice that we have. Otherwise, how will there ever be a dissenting voice to say this is a relevant discussion point? If all 28% of Christians who are very religious, who act upon their faith and regularly go to church, if only 50% of that population votes, that means that there is a very, very small majority of individuals that may have a biblical view who are going out to the polls to say, I am going to vote in accordance to a biblical view. The smaller that voice gets, the easier it is to discredit the small voice that is out there. Mm. It is important that as believers, be specifically because the numbers in Washington have continued to diminish. Number one, that means we're doing something wrong as believers in this area. We need to become more passionate in talking and demonstrating the goodness and loving mercy and kindness of Jesus Christ to a dying world. We are in a right place for harvesting souls. Mm. We must, as the church, become stronger in this area so that we can have a difference in the Seattle area, in the Pacific Northwest. But to that, I don't want us to lose the voice that we have that would proclaim righteousness, because the smaller it gets, the easier it is to dismiss it. So therefore, I hope I've given you some sense of biblical foundation that it is good to proclaim the righteousness in our voting presence. The numbers say we're getting smaller, and so it is even more important. So you have time this week. You have time this week to get out and actually register. And then in a couple weeks here, when the election takes place, please use your feet and proclaim proudly that righteousness matters in the Pacific Northwest, and go and vote.
So important to vote as a Christian. It's a real responsibility. It's a privilege in our country that we can still vote and
That's
have
right.
a say in government, both nationally and locally. You just got your, hopefully, your ballot in the mail, and I didn't know that the people can still get out and register even at this late time. So take advantage of that. If people have questions for you, Paul, or anything else, I think you're going to address this issue again next week.
I am.
On next week's show. But if in the meantime people want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Head over to legacyandfaith.com, past podcasts about estate planning, ways to communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. Legacyandfaith.com.
The Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.